So let's see who considers themselves a child here. All right, good evening. It's my privilege to preach God's word to us tonight. And the Lord has directed me to look at Genesis chapter 25. So if we would turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 25. And this is going to be looking at not just a person specifically, but an incident that the Bible describes in two places, both Genesis and Hebrews. The incident is when Esau despised his birthright. This incident, and you're probably familiar with this, that Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. This is not only about how Jacob, not Esau, became the father of the Israelites, God's chosen people, but also why Jacob, not Esau, became the ancestor of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And that is how this passage does relate to our topic of this conference, worldwide missions. The book of Genesis, in which this story is recorded, is not just about the beginning of history, it's the beginning of salvation history. Creation, the fall of man, the flood, the Tower of Babel, all of that is leading to God's plan to save the world. And he uses a man, Abraham, and his descendants, and especially his main descendant. And what we see in this story, this true incident of Jacob, of Esau despising his birthright, is he loses an opportunity to be a part of God's plan of bringing forth the Savior of the world. Esau rejects, despises his role, his part in God saving souls. And obviously, if Esau could do that, it's possible for us to do the same thing. And in doing that, in despising our opportunity to have a part in God's work, plan of rescuing souls, then we have really missed out on God's mission for our lives. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 to 34. But before we do this, why don't we pause to pray? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us from your word. And we pray that you would help us to come to it in full faith and full submission, that your way, your will is best. Lord, illumine us, open our eyes and open our hearts and conquer our wills, that we would be a transformed people, that we would be different. Our lives, our actions, our choices, and how we speak would be different. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 25, starting with verse 29. And Jacob sawed pottage. He made some stew. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, as you read that story, one of the things that probably comes to your mind is that Jacob was a pretty bad brother to take advantage of his brother Esau. And Jacob certainly knew Esau's weaknesses, and he knew that Esau was at a very weak time, very much prone to his weakness, and Jacob took advantage of him. But God does not really mention that. God makes Esau fully responsible for his choice. And at the end of this record, it states as a summary, thus Esau despised his birthright. When Esau despised his birthright, he was despising not only his right to be the spiritual leader, the next leader of his family, not only despising the opportunity to have great blessing, the best blessings, but he was despising this opportunity, this role to have a part in God's rescuing mankind by bringing forth a Savior. Because to be Abraham's descendant was to be special. There was a unique family line here. And if you look at Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to look at several verses, but let's look at Genesis chapter 12. Verse 3. And the Lord is telling Abraham and promising him, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So in you, Abraham, all families of the earth will be blessed. Now, how is that possible? Galatians chapter 3 explains that. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. So we're going to turn to the New Testament. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So amazingly, what we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, is described here as the gospel. God, foreseeing that, the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. And so this promise that in Abraham shall all nations, all families of the earth be blessed, is good news that God intends to justify, to declare righteous heathen nations through faith, through their faith in Jesus Christ. And how is that going to happen? Verse 16 tells us, Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the seed of Abraham is Christ. And God chose Abraham's line, the line that would be the ancestors of Christ. It was not Ishmael, but Isaac. And it was not Esau, but it was Jacob. So what happened here was part of God's gracious choice, God's sovereign choice. But there's also a human responsibility. And Esau failed in his responsibility. He despised his birthright. Yes, that was under the sovereignty of God, But Esau failed, and he despised his birthright, and he rejected his role in redemption. So I'd like us to see from this incident that it is possible to despise or reject your role in redemption. And instead, we need to value our part, our role in God's rescuing souls. No, we're not Esau. We're not Israelites. But God does have a role, a part for each one of us in His work, in His rescuing souls. And Esau is a warning, a bad example to us that it's possible to do this and it's a failure. Genesis is about the story of salvation, of how is God's going to bring salvation. And Christ, of course, was born. Christ became man, died on the cross for our sins, rose again. So that part of the story is complete. But God is still saving souls. God is still working. God is still seeking to call out a people from the nations and from the peoples around us. He's calling out a people for His name. And each one of us has a part in that, in what God is doing. And we ought not to despise that, but instead to value our role, our part in God's saving souls. Did Esau realize what he was doing? Well, I think a better question is, could have Esau understood what he was doing? Did Esau really realize that in despising his birthright, he was rejecting or despising his role, his part in God saving souls? Well, definitely what we're sure of is that he could have. He could have understood that. Because the promise God gave to Abraham, Abraham passed down. What God told Isaac, and in kind of renewing that covenant, in repeating that covenant, that was passed down. And we know it was passed down because Moses is writing about it in Genesis. And so Esau would have known about this. Esau would have heard what Galatians, what Paul is describing in Galatians as the gospel. And Esau rejected that. And as he failed and he despised his role in God's rescuing souls, we could also, and we could fail. Each one of us has a role to play in God's saving souls. What does that include? That includes praying for souls to be saved, for witnesses, for boldness, that the gospel would be clear. That includes giving for the advance of the gospel. And that is foreign missions, but that's also you're fulfilling the Great Commission right here in this area as you give to Market Manor Baptist Church and you give to the evangelistic outreaches here. But our role does also very much include personally giving the gospel. That is our responsibility. And to reject that is failure. Failure to fulfill God's mission for each one of us as believers individually. Because Jesus Christ commanded us, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." proclaim the gospel to every person. And that every person includes every person that we see. And, of course, we can't approach every person that we see and stop every person that we see. But there are some that we could. And to realize that every person needs to hear. And if they're going to hear, someone has to tell them. So telling some of those people, some of the hundreds of people that we see, that is part of our responsibility. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So all of us are teachers to teach God's word, to explain God's word to people. And that does not take a theology degree. That takes knowing the basics of the gospel. But we are to teach people, tell people the gospel. Ye are the light of the world, the Lord Jesus said. So we have a responsibility not to hide our light under a bushel, but that our light would be obvious to everybody. And if God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, why did he do that? Why did he give us the light of the gospel? So that we, in turn, would shed that light of the gospel to other people. So the gospel that we know, and not only know, but the gospel that has changed us, we are stewards, entrusted with the treasure, the solution, the answer to people's need. And are we being faithful stewards? It is required of a steward that he be found faithful. So we have this trust. Are we being faithful with this to give the gospel as someone gave the gospel to us? As God has shown the light to us through somebody in our life, we are responsible to faithfully share that gospel, that light, to other people. God designed the body of Christ to be like a net. And each believer is a square of that net. Believers are all over the world. Some places, there are very few believers per 1,000 or 1 million people. In some place of the world, there are more. But every believer, God has designed things that the work of missions and fulfillment of the Great Commission is not dependent or given to just a select group of believers. It is given to every one of us. And every one of us is a square, a little section of that global net. But if we are not standing for the Lord, living for the Lord, and speaking about the Lord, then our square is broken, and fish are slipping through that hole. And that hole is the network around us. There are hundreds of people, right, that pass through our lives or that are a part of our lives. And we are the missionary. We are the missionary to those people. We ought to be very careful to value that role, that mission. We have a definite part, just as important as any other believer, just as important as a foreign missionary. Every one of us has a vital role to play in God saving souls. You know, there are people that you know that I will never meet. There is a network of people in your life, hundreds of people, that either pass through your life or that are a regular part of your life, and you are the missionary to those people. That is your role. Value that role. Do not despise that role. You are God's representative, Christ's ambassador to those people. And how will they be saved? Unless they believe how they believe, unless they hear, and how they will hear unless someone tells them. And I can't, and many other people in this church can't. But you are the one that knows and is acquainted with, or the one that even has a passing touch in their lives. You stand next to them in line. You happen to be sitting next to them for some reason or another. Those are opportunities that we've got to seize and not fail. Edward Kimball was a burden for the children in his area, and he gave the gospel. And that included D.L. Moody, and because of that, many souls were saved. So, what was Edward Kimball? He was not a famous preacher, but he fulfilled his role in the area that he was in. I was on the trip on Monday. We were hearing about George Mensick and how his wife in the hospital heard the gospel. Someone witnessed to his wife, and through that she got saved, and then she witnessed to her husband. And God used this couple, but there was that witness in the hospital who took that opportunity to fulfill their role and seize that opportunity to be the witness they ought to be. One of the men that I got to be friends with was, when I was in college, was named Jim Roach, and I became first friends with his children. But he was a scientist, also a professor in college, and a very smart man. But he had a painter paint his house one day, and not just one day, actually it was several days. And this painter, this believer, gave him a tract and tried to witness to Jim Roach. And Jim Roach listened, took the tract, went inside his house, and threw it in the garbage. And the next day, the painter came back, painted, and at the end of the day, did the same thing, tried to witness to Jim Roach, gave him a tract. Jim Roach took the tract, went into his house, threw it in the garbage. And this continued day after day until one day, and the painter was almost done. Again, the painter tried to talk to him a little bit, gave him a tract, and after Jim Roach talked to him a little bit, went inside the house, and he was going to throw it into the garbage, but the wastebasket wasn't there for some reason. And so he didn't know where else to put it, so he put it on his refrigerator with a magnet. And it stayed there for weeks until one day when he was home alone and eating lunch. He didn't have anything to do. There was no one to talk to. And so he wanted something to do while he ate. So he saw the tract on his refrigerator door, pulled it off, and started reading it, and was saved. And his family was saved. His family was very Catholic. And his children were saved. One of his children, the one who was I got to be closest friends with, his daughter is now a pastor's wife, and all of his children are faithfully serving the Lord. But there was one man, that believer who was a painter, that realized he had a responsibility. He had a definite role to play in God's work of saving souls, and he did not despise that. He realized he was the missionary to the people in his life. Now, what must we do? What must we be to fulfill our role in God's work of saving souls? Again, Esau is our negative example. This incident is already also described in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 16. Hebrews 12:16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So this description of what Esau did, very much the same as Genesis. But what's added and helpful here is it describes the attitude behind the act. This act of despising his birthright came from a certain character or hard attitude. And what adjective describes Esau? He was a profane person, it says there, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. He was an unholy person. The word profane has that idea of unholy, something not holy or someone not set apart to God and the things of God. And this tells us the heart condition or the character behind the act of despising his birthright. So the point is this: if we're going to fulfill our role in God's work of saving souls, if we're going to have a part and fulfill our part, our mission, we've got to set ourselves apart to God and the things of God. Fulfill your role in God's bringing salvation to the world by being set apart to God. So that's where it starts, being set apart to God. And if we are set apart to God and God's work and the things of God, then when those opportunities come, we will see them as divine appointments. We'll see that person as someone that God loves, God created and loves and died for, someone that we ought to be a witness to. To fulfill our role in God's bringing salvation to souls, we must present our bodies a living sacrifice, set ourselves apart to God. I think we all understand that, you know, if we feed our lives, our minds, with the things of the world, then we won't have much of a desire or burden or be surrendered to give the gospel to others, or really want to advance the kingdom of God in other people. That won't be really on our hearts and minds. Psalm 51 is a prayer for cleansing impurity, a prayer that is a great pattern when we have sinned against the Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. But what is the result of that kind of purity, of being set apart to the Lord? Notice, it is the heart condition needed to be used by God. Let me read this for us. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. This prayer to be pure and cleansed and holy and set apart to God is necessary and does result in verse 13, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." If someone is not pure and clean and set apart to God, he is not usable. The Lord can't use us to teach transgressors God's ways and to lead and turn sinners to the Lord if our hearts and our lives are not set apart and pure. We are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, its flavor, you know, how shall it be salted? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. It has no influence because it is not. It has impurities within it. Those impurities weaken and really remove our influence, our impact. If we're going to be used by God, we must set ourselves apart. Have you presented your body to be a living sacrifice? Have you dedicated yourself, presented your body to be holy, set apart, pleasing to God, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Each one of us needs to decide that and to follow through on that by God's grace and daily set ourselves apart to God so that God can use us. Walter Wilson was a medical doctor, but one of his great burdens was souls. As a Christian doctor, he wanted to be used by God in fulfilling his role in the sphere of influence he was in, to witness to those people and see them come to Christ. And he would not leave his home each day until he prayed for God to give an opportunity to be a witness. He was setting himself apart to be used by God. So when we start the day and before we go out, what's on our minds? What's on our hearts? We have a lot to do. There's a lot of things we are responsible for. And life is busy. But we are saved and left on this earth to be a witness. That is why God saved us. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And one of those good works is to be the witness that we ought to be. About a month ago, I was in a church, and I saw in one of their rooms, they had two pictures that were companion pictures, similar but very different. Both pictures were pictures of three ships, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.